Would you pray with me, please? Lord of all, we thank you for this new year, for this new day, for this new start. We thank you for the worship that we've been experiencing, for those who make that possible. And Lord, today we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to those in need, to those who are hungry, cold, lonely, hurting, to those who are addicted, abused, bitter, vengeful. We ask, Lord, that you tend the sick, rest the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, shield the joyful. And Lord, we ask that you use us as instruments of peace and healing, we pray. We pray today for Lori Buchanan and Lane Davis, Cindy Dunning. Hear now the names and needs of those that we love. Lord, today we pray for Michael, that he have a safe trip and a time of enrichment. We pray for all our leaders. We pray for soldiers and civil servants, those who work today, holidays, weekends, the policemen, firemen, doctors, nurses, all of those who work, that we may be safe. Lord, let there be peace on earth this year, and let it begin with us. Amen. Well, good morning. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas since we weren't here last week. It's good to be here together in one great room to celebrate one church in one building, to celebrate on Sunday the possibilities that Jesus Christ brings to our lives. I missed being here with you last week. Brother Jeff always teaches me that if you are here today, you have perfect attendance for this year in Sunday worship, and you have the opportunity, unlike all those other lazy slobs who are at home, to maintain that perfect attendance record. So I hope that will be one of your resolutions as well. Michael is on a continuing education trip right now in, I think it's New Mexico. I think I heard that it's 2 degrees where he is. And they canceled their historic walk downtown for something inside. He will be here next Sunday, and next Sunday we'll return to our usual morning worship schedule of 3 services at 8:30, 9:45, and 11. But today, in here, while we're all together, we're going to start a new sermon series called the Honky Tonk Gospel. I appreciate the band being good sports with their bandanas and other attire. We'll be hearing in the contemporary services the good news as conveyed in some country music songs this month. The series idea was born out of the survey that we did when Michael first arrived, and we learned that most of us listen to country music on the radio all week long. So today in this service, and for the rest of January in this service only, we'll be featuring at least 2 country songs that convey the gospel message. Now, I confess that country music is really not my first choice. I do listen to it, but I only do it when my other radio stations have already let me down. So when my children got old enough to work the radios by themselves and they began tuning into country stations, I thought maybe their musical genes had mutated in some way. What I found out, though, is that they loved the stories. We loved the stories in country music. And sometimes you just have to admit the songs are hilarious. You've got songs like Monkey Toad Gal. So here's some other ones. Here's a quarter, Call Someone Who Cares. How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? If I Said You Had a Beautiful Body, Would You Hold It Against Me? If I had shot you when I wanted to, I'd be out by now. This is my favorite. I still miss you, baby, but my aim's getting better. And that beautiful song that David Crouch sang last year at the Valentine's banquet, "If my nose was running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you." Funny titles, funny songs, but sometimes country music gives us a frank look at life. It's honest. Honest about what hurts, what doesn't work, sometimes telling us, reminding us about things that are beautiful and commendable. Country music tells stories so well. Jesus Christ told stories so well. So welcome to Honky Tonk Gospel. I hope you'll join us each Sunday in here in January. But if this is not your cup of tea, do not panic, because Michael will be back next week, and in traditional services, he'll be doing something completely different. To start us off today, I'd like us to watch this great Sawyer Brown video called "They Don't Understand." Jesus said it this way: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eye." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, please. Lord, give us grace and show us how to share grace in the same measure it's given to us. Amen. Have you ever noticed that when other people take a long time to do something, they're slow? But when we take a long time, we're being thorough. Or when someone doesn't do something, you know it's because they're lazy. But when we didn't do it, it's because we were busy or sick or tired. You ever notice that when others succeed, they sure were lucky? But when we succeed, we deserved it because we work hard. You ever notice this in your life? We all do. We look at other people's lives and we make judgments, and usually we don't have the slightest clue about what other people are going through. Even the very best of us judge like that. Even church leaders do it. We revere John Wesley as the founder of Methodism, but we don't worship him. We know Wesley was just a man, and sometimes he was very human and flawed. Sometimes he looked a lot like us. In his journals, John Wesley tells about this man that he had little respect for because he thought he was stingy and miserly. And one day, Wesley openly criticized the man when he saw this guy only put in a very small offering for a good charity. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, watched what people gave and then criticized this man because he didn't give enough. I'm sort of glad that Wesley's not here today. Well, after Wesley's public criticism, this man went to Wesley privately and told him that he had been living on parsnips and water for several weeks. Do you know what parsnips are? They're those white-looking carrots that aren't even sweet. This man had been living on parsnips and water for weeks. He said that before becoming a Christian, he had racked up all this debt, and now he was trying to skimp and save everywhere he could so that he would be able to pay off his creditors. The man told Wesley, "Christ has made me an honest man. And so with all these debts, I can only pay a few offerings above my tithe. I must settle up with my neighbors and show them what the grace of God can do in the heart of a man who was once dishonest." A man lives for weeks on parsnips and water so he can pay his debts, so he can tithe, and so that he can give a few extra gifts. And Wesley, in his ignorance, criticized. We see one thing, we make a judgment. I wonder how many times we're as wrong as Wesley was. I guess maybe that's why judging seems like such a big deal to Jesus. Jesus almost makes it sound like the sin of judging may be worse than whatever it is we're judging. If we had been reading the book of Matthew all the way through, by the time we got to today's passage, we would have already heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who shall receive mercy." Matthew 5. Or, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts with us." Matthew 6. Here in Matthew 7, when Jesus says, "Don't judge," I don't think he means to check your brains at the door. I don't think he means to stop critical thinking or to stop having standards. I don't think he means that Christians can't serve as magistrates or judges like some of the commentaries I read. I think that when Jesus said don't judge, he's recognizing this tendency we have to look down on other people. I think Jesus is warning us not to try to play God, because we never have the total understanding and perspective that God does. We don't understand, like the song said. We're not able to understand. But we sure are good at making these judgments. Jesus teaches that true disciples who have experienced the love and grace of God themselves will show love and grace to others. We give what we have received, not judgment, but mercy. One of my favorite devotional guides is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. In his entry for March 31st, Oswald writes this: "One of the subtlest burdens God ever puts on us is this burden of discernment concerning other souls. God reveals things to us so we might take the burden of these souls to God and form the mind of Christ about them. God reveals things about others to us, Oswald says, that we might intercede for them." Can you believe that? I thought that when I noticed wretched and annoying things about other people, it was so I could call my girlfriend up and complain. But Oswald said, God lets us see these things about others so that we might pray for them. When we notice wretched and annoying things about others, Oswald said, it is our opportunity to be intercessors, to be prayers on their behalf. I will admit to you today that I used to look at people who were overweight and say, how could they let themselves get like that? How could they do that? Well, today I have an idea. And today, at least on this one point, I judge a little less than I used to. Today, when I see someone who's overweight, I wonder what hurt they're trying to eat away. I wonder what stress turned them to food for comfort. I wonder what medical condition they might have. On this one point, at least, I've turned from judgment to empathy, from criticism to prayer. What about you? Where are those places in your life that you've turned from criticism to prayer? I know you have them. When we judge others, there are lots of things we don't know. We don't know how hard he or she tried to resist. We don't know how powerful the temptation or trickery was that started them down that path. We don't know what experiences in their life set them up for this failure, and we don't know what we would have done ourselves if we had the same background and faced the same circumstances. We don't know. I've seen many of us post on Facebook something like, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is involved in some great struggle." And we love that quote. We just forget it when we're judging. I love the story Michael told recently about a person running into you and knocking you down. You drop your groceries everywhere. You're mad until you look up and you see that the person who ran into you was blind. And suddenly, you're more worried about them than you are about yourself. Our perspective on the whole situation changes when we realize the blindness of the other person. I wonder how our perspective would change toward those we judge if we knew the backstory to their lives. I think that if we could see others as God sees them, we wouldn't judge even the most hard people we meet. I think that if we could see what made them the way they are, we would think and feel something completely different about them. I think we would love them. I think we would pray for them. Pray for them as Jesus prayed for us. Forgive them, Father, for they haven't a clue. God knows the story. Jesus knows the story. Most of the time, we don't have a clue. I have never met a person, no matter how much I love them, who was totally good and perfect. We all have feet of clay. But I've also never met anyone who, when I tried to get to know them, was totally bad and evil. Each of us is this mixture of good and bad, of beautiful and ugly, of strong and helpless. We all have our moments of beauty, moments of ugliness. And none of us knows the backstory for each other's lives. May we live this week honoring that which is good and beautiful in others and pray. May we pray instead of judge when we discern something less in them. Every person you've ever met, every person you ever will meet, has had those moments. We all have. And so, today's message is simple. Don't judge. Pray. Thanks be to God for His amazing grace. Amen. You are God's. You live in God's grace. This week, go and instead of judging, pray. Go and extend God's grace to others. In the name of the God we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.